This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Now, a little earlier this hour, Anthony had a terrific piece about the Boston mayor's race. And while the city has just about a month to go before picking a new head of City Hall, for the rest of Massachusetts and our seemingly never-ending election cycle, there is another race beginning to shape up for the corner office at Beacon Hill.
It's the 2014 governor's race. While the gubernatorial election is still over a year away, a slate of candidates has already announced their campaigns. In the coming days, we'll be hearing from many of them.
Joining us now in the studio for the first in this series is Democratic gubernatorial candidate and current state treasurer, Steve Grossman. He became treasurer in 2011, his first elected public office. He's also a Massachusetts businessman and former chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Treasurer Grossman joins us in the studio. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me back. Very familiar with this seat.
It's terrific to have you back in this seat. And listeners, if you have any questions for State Treasurer Steve Grossman about his campaign to be the next governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Now, Treasurer Grossman, since we've got a lot of time before the primary is next September, so I anticipate having you back quite frequently. So because of that, I wanted to actually start back in 2002, the last time you ran for the governor's seat. Mm-hmm. Now, at that time, you had said that you were a Beacon Hill outsider because you hadn't spent your professional political life on Beacon Hill. Obviously, that was 11 years ago. And since then, you did become treasurer for the state of Massachusetts. So other than the Beacon Hill outsider part, what is different about your campaign for governor this time around?
You know, somebody asked me last night, what did you learn from your year of running for governor, a little more than a year running for governor? What did you learn the last time? I said, I learned how to be a better listener. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when you develop your listening skills how much more you understand about the unmet needs of the people of this Commonwealth, what they're looking for, what their challenges are, what their children need, student debt, housing, transportation, substance abuse, all the things that matter enormously in people's lives. And you know, I think the role of governor could be summarized fairly simply. First of all, I think you lay out an aspirational vision. How do you lead the state in a way that leaves no one behind, particularly around jobs and education? Second, what are the challenges and problems the people of this Commonwealth are facing, and what are the common sense solutions you can bring to the table based on, in my case, a lifetime of leadership in the private sector, creating jobs and taking that into the treasurer's office? Third, how do you put together a great team of people? Because none of us do it on our own. Mm-hmm. We need a great team of people around us. So I've spent the last year doing my job as state treasurer, which is my number one responsibility, listening carefully. What are the challenges? What are the most urgent things that people want, need, and expect out of the governor and out of leadership in government? And when you listen that carefully, you develop a pretty good sense of what those things are.
So how does that ability to listen better and to really get a granular feeling for what people want, how does that translate in your ability to be a better governor and the politics of Beacon Hill?
I'll give you a perfect example. When I was running in 2009, I had a series of roundtable discussions with small business owners, and I've continued that as state treasurer. When you listen to small business owners, I ask one question. What are the roadblocks and barriers you face as a small business owner, and how can we in government help remove or lower those roadblocks? When you ask that question and are a good listener, people tell you the cost of health insurance. They tell you that they need more technical assistance. Small business owners saying, I don't know how to put a cash flow statement together. I don't know how to put a five-year marketing plan together, but I need capital. Access to capital is the number one issue. And finally, too much permitting and too much regulation. Mm-hmm. People are worried about that burden. So I thought about the whole issue of access to capital. And when I became treasurer, I said one thing. Where are our state reserve deposits? I found out that more than half of it was sitting in banks in Europe, Australia, and Asia. And I said, simple principle. Massachusetts taxpayers' money should be in Massachusetts banks to be loaned to creditworthy Massachusetts companies to create jobs right here. And we created the Small Business Banking Partnership. We've deposited hundreds of millions of dollars in small banks, community banks, regional banks all over the state. And they, in turn, have made capital available, particularly to women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, immigrant-owned businesses and businesses owned by veterans. And it's been a powerful catalyst for lots of small business lending and job creation. So that's what I learned by listening. That's what I've done as treasurer. And I'd like to take that to the governor's office on a bigger scale.
Okay, so let me ask you, that's a good example. But given your professional background and even the example that you just gave, your state treasurer for the state of Massachusetts, you were a champion fundraiser when you were head of the Democratic mm-hmm. National Committee. You've got deep business background here in Massachusetts. Why the governor's office instead of, say, maybe Secretary of Administration and Finance, where you could further sort of your business and financial knowledge to the benefit of the state of Massachusetts?
Because I think the governor not only has a big, powerful toolbox with a lot of big power tools in it to affect people's lives on the two biggest issues we face, jobs, the economy, and public education. But in addition, it seems to me that one of the things that I feel strongly about, and I think the governor, this governor, Governor Patrick, has done so effectively, is to bring progressive values to the corner office and to the governor's office in a way that serves all the people of this Commonwealth. I mean, look, in a sentence, I'm running for governor because I believe the people of Massachusetts want proven leadership that will leave no one behind, no one out, in a way that empowers them. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so powerfully committed to the whole prospect of earned sick time as an idea that we have not implemented, but we need to. I mean, this morning, when you and I got up this morning, almost a million people had not a single hour of earned sick time. Mm-hmm. We haven't had it. I was the first business owner to testify back in 2006 for earned sick time in the State House. My company has had it for 25 years. My company has brought those progressive values into the way we lead, into the way we employ people. We've been successful for 103 years. That's the kind of success I'd like to bring into the governor's office and stimulate that kind of commitment to progressive values around jobs, economic development, and public education.
All right, so let's bore down into some
sure,
specifics.
Absolutely.
Back in March, you gave a speech before the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. And in that speech, we've got a little tape of it here, you appeared to call for a truly massive overhaul of how the state and how state government operates. So let's listen to that.
Mm-hmm. We must continue, as we've done at Treasury during the past 25 months, to retool, rebuild, re-engineer, and reimagine everything we do to better serve the needs of the people who are ultimately our customers.
So retool, rebuild, re-engineer, reimagine everything. Specifically, what does that mean?
Okay, so first of all, when I became state treasurer, I said that we will hire the best people at Treasury, and the people we hire will reflect the diversity of the society in which we live. That, to me, is a powerful principle. That's what I mean by leaving no one behind. So what did we do? We hired a new human resources director, a professional by the name of Jessie St. Cyr. She's phenomenal. 36% of the people we've hired at Treasury in the last less than 3 years have been people from diverse backgrounds and diverse communities. And I will put the team that we have at Treasury up against any team in government in terms of their effectiveness. Overhauling, overtooling means you hire the best people. You, in many ways, close that patronage parking lot mm-hmm. that sometimes people feel exists in state government. You hire the best people. We put every single service that we are over, that I am responsible for, out to public bid. I think you have to use taxpayers' dollars wisely. You have to be transparent and accountable in everything we do. You remember I promised when I ran for treasurer that I would put the state's checkbook online?
That's right.
And we did that in our first year, so that if anybody goes to mass.gov/open checkbook, they can see down to checkbook level detail how every dollar of their money is being spent. That's the goal. So if you tell taxpayers who spend their tax dollars, it's their money, that you're going to show them how the money's being spent, that you open it up and make it more transparent and accountable, that you put everything out to public bid and we've saved tens of millions of dollars, and then you hire the best people and you reflect diversity in your hiring practices, that to me is overhauling, retooling, reimagining. And when you add to that the Small Business Banking Partnership and the powerful impact we've had on small business lending, because that's the backbone of our state's economy, those are the kinds of things that I am proud that we've done as treasurer. Those are the things I'd like to take to the governor's office.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking with State Treasurer Steve Grossman. He has announced his candidacy for the governor's race in Massachusetts. Now, of course, that race will truly get underway in 2014, but he's one of the early people who has announced his candidacy. And if you have a question for him, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Treasurer Grossman, we've got a couple people who've got questions for you. Let's first go to Kevin, who's calling from Belmont. You're on the air, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question for Steve Grossman?
I was calling to see if maybe you can answer my question. I was wondering what you thought about and hopefully what you plan on doing with standardized testing. And in a lot of schools, especially the ones I went to, it was kind of the goal to teach for the test so that students would pass the test and then all information they learned was gone. And that was how our education system was set up. Is there, do you have any kind of goals to move away from that, so to teach so that people learn versus teaching to pass the test?
Kevin, thank you so much for your call. Treasurer Grossman?
I think the way we've gone about overhauling public education since 1993 has been largely successful. And I think the fact that we stack up number one in the country in terms of public education, number two and five in the world, respectively, in math and science, compared to other countries, speaks to the caliber and quality of the education reform we've done. I do understand how people feel the testing does take an inordinate amount of time, which is a reason why I'm a big believer in extended learning time. We need our children to spend more time in school. We need them to spend more time in school partly for remedial purposes, partly because I don't think arts, dance, music, painting, literature, and also sports have been emphasized enough. I think they've been de-emphasized. So I'm a huge believer that while we focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and everything that we do, I'm also a big believer that I'd rather use the acronym STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. We're trying to educate the whole child. We're trying to educate the citizen of the 21st century. So I think that public education, while it does rely on testing and rigorous instruction, I think we can do a more effective job and a more well-rounded job. But I think extended learning time is going to be a key vehicle in making that happen. I'd like to work with educational leadership when I become governor to make that principle of extended learning time more prevalent in our public schools all over the Commonwealth.
Let's take another call from Peter, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Peter.
Yes, hello. My name is Peter Barkley, and Steve, you remember me, Shady Hill?
Peter, I do very, very well.
Hey, how are
Thank
you?
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, of course. Well, my question is, the big issue, and I think you and I talked about it at one point, and I spent a lot of time in Canada, and that is the issue of inequality and poverty. And I think Cambridge and Boston have done a lot better than a lot of other places, but I was wondering what policy ideas you might have in terms of how to deal with inequality and poverty in terms of, you know, social programs, education, that are both short-term but also long-term, so that it, you know, that you don't wind up with just quick fixes kind of thing.
Peter, thank you so much for your call. Treasurer Grossman, go ahead.
Well, we clearly have two commonwealths. We have one commonwealth that is doing extraordinarily well. If you are in life sciences, if you are in clean tech, green tech, robotics, or any one of the 21st century innovation economy disciplines, you're doing just fine. But if you are not being educated in the public schools of this commonwealth, in many of our gateway communities all over the commonwealth, to be able to take your place in that economy, then you're being left out and left behind, and that perpetuates more inequality, which is a tremendous problem, and you've cited it perfectly. One of the ways I think we deal effectively with that is what I just said earlier, extended learning time. We've got to level the playing field. And second of all, I think in many of the parts of this commonwealth, we've got to put more money into what I would refer to as vocational technical education. We've got lots of our young people who not only do we want to learn English and history and other subjects, but we want them to have the skills to be able to take them to the workforce. If they decide to go into the workforce, we want them to have the skills that allow them to take place in the manufacturing economy. One of my goals as governor will be to create 50,000 new manufacturing jobs in this commonwealth. And those manufacturing jobs are going to be in places where there's tremendous inequality, tremendous poverty, Fall River, New Bedford, Chicopee, Holyoke, Methuen, Haverhill, and lots of other places, including the neighborhoods of Boston.
Treasurer Grossman,
so you've cited a very strong point. It's a very interesting and an important issue, and I think it has a lot of component parts, one of which is making sure the public education.
If I may, Treasurer Grossman, because you're saying a lot of interesting things, and I think, I mean, the issue of inequality and the economy and the overall sort of economic and civic health of the Commonwealth is front and center on just about everyone's minds. And on that point, I wanted to ask you, because a little earlier we were talking about sort of your big vision of retooling and overhauling government. And you could say that, or one could say that, for example, Governor Patrick, when he first came out with his plan, many, many, many months ago about increasing the state's income tax while reducing the state's sales tax was an effort to do two things. One is to sort of stabilize revenue streams for the state, and also then, you know, take a look at this inequality issue in Massachusetts and rebalance where revenues are coming from. Now, my question to you is, as we know, that big vision that the governor had, it didn't really go anywhere on Beacon Hill. We got a much watered down version of it. So given that the governor's big vision didn't really go anywhere, what makes you think that we can make these fundamental structural changes to do what you're talking about and address inequality?
Well, again, one of the concerns that many people had was that the governor's plan would put an inordinate burden on middle-class families that were still struggling to get out of this recession and have not yet made it out of the recession. So there was an issue of too much of a burden. But by the same token, let's accept the fact that the governor was right. We have to invest in education, transportation, and infrastructure. It is morally wrong and economically unwise to have 30,000 young people, children, on a waiting list for pre-K. If they are not reading fluently, by the time they graduate from the third grade, they may fall behind and never catch up. And it is so many of those young people live in high poverty areas, and that's inequality. And that perpetuates income and economic inequality in gateway communities. So you need a strategy for economic development to grow these jobs in these cities where we have 250,000 people out of work, and we have over 100,000 jobs posted in the innovation economy that we can't fill. So we have an economic imbalance there. So to me, the issue is not so much what kind of a tax package do you put together, and it's more how do you grow this economy organically, because Paul Tsongas, the great Senator Paul Tsongas, once said, you cannot redistribute wealth that you never create. I believe that we should focus on creating wealth, level the playing field, and give anybody who wants to work hard, whether it's in a small business or some other place, to have an opportunity to earn enough money to provide for their families, to grow their families, and to live the kind of life that we would all define as middle class. Too many people have fallen out of that middle class, and too many people are fearful of the future. I want to bring progressive values to that table to be able to rectify that imbalance.
Treasurer Grossman, the good thing about this being such a long election season is that we'll have you back multiple times, I'm sure, to go deep on each one of these issues. But in the last 30 seconds, sure, I got two quick questions for
go
you.
Right
one,
ahead.
Back in 2002, you said you only drive American cars. Is that still true?
I still drive my Jeep.
Okay. And also that you sleep 4 hours a night and often pop a lot of junior mints to help you stay awake?
I still pop a lot of junior mints, but my wife Barbara, who's a theater historian, vice chair of the Mass Cultural Council, has insisted that I get at least 5 hours to sleep a night.
Good. I'm glad she's looking out for your health. Well, that's State Treasurer Steve Grossman. He's a Democratic candidate for the governor of Massachusetts. Treasurer Grossman, great to have you. Hope to have you back soon.
Thank you, Megan. Appreciate it, Anthony. Thank you.
And listeners, tomorrow we will be hearing from Charlie Baker, the only Republican in the governor's race so far. But stick with us, because coming up, comedian Bo Burnham on internet fame, coming of age, and his new book of poetry. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.